City. Happy Monday. Fesco and Dusty. Live, 96.5 The Fan. Find it on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all the ways you can watch it, subscribe, like it. Goes to the top of your screen. You've heard me say that enough, but you got to do it enough. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Good weekend, yeah. Very busy weekend from a kid's perspective.
But a lot of swimming? No,
we had swimming on Friday. We had soccer on Friday and Saturday, and yesterday was kind of a day to rest. Went over to the Hy-Vee, got some groceries, and did all that kind of good stuff, and made some fried rice last night.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Hey, look, you found something that the kids go to. You continue to make it over and over and over
Japanese
again,
barbecue
right?
sauce?
You know, this time I just made the fried rice, and I let everybody dress it themselves. And I said, okay. You know, because you always complain, it's too salty, it's not salty enough, too barbecue-y, not barbecue-y. So here it is. I'm going to make it. I'm going to put a little sesame oil, a little soy sauce. I'm going to make the rice. I said, you guys dress it the way that you want.
Right.
You know what they put on it? Nothing. Of course, they just ate it the way that it was because it was fine. You know, yeah, because kids like plain.
You have to put some sort of soy sauce.
I did. I put a little soy sauce in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Very little though. Very little soy sauce. A little sesame oil, and then I got to go. But that Japanese barbecue sauce had a buy one get one free at Hy-Vee the other day. You better believe Daddy stacked up on those. Yeah.
Oh
well, yes, I did. Buy one get
Daddy.
One free.
Yeah.
I know a bargain when I see one.
I like this, Bob.
Yeah,
I just want to win, Jen.
So
you better believe it. I did
walking out double fisted with Japanese barbecue.
Yeah,
sauce.
Yeah. Hey, that's a big day when you're in your 40s.
Oh,
man,
yeah,
buy
dude.
One get one free on a product you use all the time. Hell yes.
Do the double take. Wait a minute, buy one? All right.
Yeah, and that stuff doesn't go bad. You know, you can leave that on the shelf, but you go through it so fast. If you make fried rice, half a bottle of that stuff is gone right away. So.
So good.
Yeah, but, you know, busy weekend, soccer,
God,
all
soccer
that kind of
stuff.
Soccer
never sleeps,
man. It really doesn't, right? Like, it was the high school, like, they had a little bit of a tournament this weekend. So it was interesting this weekend because I think a lot of parents will, you know, kind of appreciate the story. I told you guys about this. It was basically a tournament that they put on for high school kids and their teams to train new referees for the upcoming season, right?
Because the parents.
Yeah, right. And so they sent out this whole email, hey, this is kind of a tournament. You know, you want to win, you want to play good. But we're using this to train our new referees, right? And so all these new referees, kids and whatnot, are out there, and they're trying to learn how to referee as the kids are playing. Sorry, told to everybody ahead of time, go easy on the refs, right? Go easy on the refs this week. They're training. They're new, yada, yada. Fine. Of course, we get to the field a couple minutes before the game starts. Another one's going into penalty kicks, which is cool. A lot of these games running in penalty kicks over the weekend, which is a lot of fun. Mm. Fun way to end a game. I know kids probably don't like to end it that way. The teams probably don't like, but from a fan perspective, it's good, right? So the referee made a call. The goalie left the goal line too early or something like that. All these parents start screaming at the referees. And finally, one parent goes, did y'all not read the email? These are people that have never done this before that are learning how to referee. That didn't really put them at bay. And as we're switching seats, you know, you move your chair in, everybody moves their chair out. One woman turns to me and she goes, I hope you get a better referee. I go, you do realize they're learning, right? This is a training session for the referees. And she looks at me, she goes, well, they better go back to school.
I'm
like, okay.
Nice.
All right, Karen, have a seat over there. It's July. This tournament doesn't mean anything for anybody. It's get a little playing time with your team and train some refs. And Karen and Todd and Charlie are all out here screaming at the parents or screaming at the referees like it's a big deal. Like, come on, man. Put a pipe in it and shut up.
Exhibition games?
Oh, God, yes.
So there's nothing on the line.
Like they're not even supposed to be affiliated with the school, according to the, you know, the Kasia rules and whatnot. And, like we were like the Legends of East or something like that, you know, kind of like they do that, you know, that TBT tournament and something of that nature. So it was basically like to get these referees some experience in games that don't matter. And you still have, you know, asshat parents out here yelling and screaming at people who may have been doing it literally for the first time ever. And you're going to take your aggression out on them. Sit back. In your chair, Sally.
She thought she got him with that slam. That was a slam.
Yeah.
Better go back to school.
Yeah. Oh, she was happy about that as she grabbed her venti Starbucks 7,000 calorie drink and took another sip in her rocker.
Just a few hours away from her Kim Crawford.
I was going to say,
I
thought she had the Yeti teal blue Kim Crawford
that time of day. That was the early game. That was like the 11 a.m. game. So they were finishing up the 10 a.m. game or something like that.
She's got some class.
It's a little bit of class, but she was definitely going for the Kim Crawford after that in her silver minivan. Get in that silver minivan, throw your rocker in the back, grab your Kim Crawford, and tear around Johnson County, lady.
Yeah. Head out to Lee's Summit later if you're feeling it.
for cheese.
I know that I'm hard.
From the 785. Happy Monday, y'all.
Yeah.
Text line, how was your weekend? We don't ever ask the text line
how their weekend was, right? How was your weekend?
Fantastic. Friday was nothing really crazy. Just kind of went to a wedding. It was really low key.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Probably the smallest one I've ever been to.
Perfect.
That's
fun. It was at the Union in downtown.
Okay.
So kind of crazy. We were like a block away from 311 at Grinders.
Oh, how was that?
I felt bad because it was outside and there was like a storm that came through.
Oh, no. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, because like I think the game got delayed on Friday, right? It got delayed on Friday and yesterday.
I know yesterday got delayed.
Because Friday is when it had like the orange scene.
Okay.
Like everybody's taking pictures on Twitter and you could see like the orange sky. And so like we were inside, it was really cool. You know, you have like your little like pre happy hour, then they get married very quick.
Yep.
Guy's a huge nerd, came down to A New Hope, Star Wars. That's what he walked
down
the aisle.
That's awesome.
They walked down the aisle together with a Game of Thrones theme.
Cool.
So that was cool. Best man speech under 2 minutes, bridesmaid speech 2:30, nailed it.
Do you think they told them ahead of time to keep these things, you know, quick?
Yeah. And then, 10:30, they're like, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
Uber. Very popular time to get an Uber. So crazy how different it is in the suburbs in the city.
Yeah.
You put in an Uber in the suburb, it'll be like, it'll be there in 17 minutes. You're like, okay. And then you go to the city and it's like, your Uber has arrived. Right when you plug it in, you're like, let's go.
Perfect. Go.
But I did find out that when you plan ahead with the Uber, like the book in advance, that's the way to do it.
It is.
So like
you
know, like you're going to leave at 5:30, right? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just put in pickup time. It's like when you discover pick up at the store, like I said, going to Chipotle.
Yeah, right.
Just order it ahead of time. Now you're gambling.
Yeah, you are.
But no, it was great. But no, we could hear 311, or I could hear 311 when we were out there waiting for the Uber. And then Saturday, just had a pool party day for a gal who was having a birthday.
Nice.
Called her an early night, and then it started pouring rain.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, once you come over to our buddy's driveway, we're going to hang out the rest of the night. I was like, yeah, we've been after it. It's about 2 o'clock. It's 6:30. I've been
good.
In the sun. I think it's just going to go home and relax. I mean, literally like an hour later, it was buckets.
Yeah, it was. So yeah. And we're dealing with the dog, you know, too. And that's been, if anybody's got any tips on how to deal with the dog during all this, because she's been whacked out for the last couple of weeks with the fireworks and all that kind of stuff. And I saw an ad last night. I don't know if you've purchased this yet. Dog earmuffs.
Oh.
If you look them up, they come in three sizes. I think maybe they came in four sizes, small, medium, large, and jumbo. And it's like these two like cones you put over your dog's ears, and it's supposed to muffle the sound of all of the noise going on. I don't know if it's worth a buy or anything like that.
Definitely not.
Probably not. You kick those things off her head right away.
They have like super hearings. So I don't know if that's going to work.
From the text line, 311 junkie here, two 311 concerts. Friday was fine after the early rain, and they went to Omaha on Saturday. 311 was pretty badass from the 816, and then someone said they saw three musicals, even saw Rob Britton at West Side Story at the J.
Oh, nice. Very nice, Rob. Rob going Britton. To the J to see West Side Story. I like him, yeah.
Tell me you're married without telling me you're married.
Honey, what are we doing tonight? Well, we're going to the White Theater at the J to watch West Side Story. That is marriage in a nutshell right there. They do great performances, obviously.
Oh, yes.
At the J. But, you know, like when you're a guy in your 20s, the last thing you ever dream about is going to a Broadway show on a Saturday night, right? Like,
yes, exactly.
It's fantastic.
That's
I
awesome.
Love it. Like, good I love Rob. It. I'd be there in a heartbeat. But yeah. Rob is like in his 20s, and I'm surprised he wasn't stressing about KU football or something like that
well,
over
he'll
the weekend.
Be here at 10:30 today, so we'll have to ask him a question about how his event was because he'll have no idea because he's not up.
No
he's
chance.
Not listening.
No.
Hey, how was West Side Story? How'd you know I went to West Side Story?
Oh, ah! God, I. Everywhere.
How do I know?
Yeah, but that's what I tell my kids all the time. They go, how do you know? I said, you don't understand. I've got eyes everywhere in this town. Everywhere in this town. You do something that's wrong, I know about it before you know about
got
it.
Got Lord Varys over here.
Exactly.
Hell yes, I do.
He's got his spiders in the walls. Yeah,
my kids are screwed. They have no idea. People call all the time. Your kid was doing this or your kid was doing that. And I get reports all the time. And so now we get them on Rob Britton too. Remember, I told Scott Pioli this years and years ago. I said, if you take a dump, Scott, I'm going to know about it sooner rather than later. And Scott didn't take a dump much after that. Actually, he did.
And then Sunday, watched the draft.
You did? You got on board on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I want to see. I watched probably the entire first round just because, I don't know, the card industry, obviously.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And then And then I wanted to see if it was going to be the Holiday Kid or if it was going to be the kid from LSU.
And it was neither.
Neither one of them.
It surprises.
It was a shock of a draft.
It really was. Yep.
The youngest player ever was drafted number one overall. Yep. Wiltz, I think it was his name.
Willits, maybe? Willits, yeah.
Yeah, to the Nationals. So now they've had Harper, Soto, Strasburg. They have James Wood now,
yeah.
And then they'll have this kid. We'll see if one of them actually ends up staying with Washington, because no one has.
No one has.
Fired their GM, fired their manager, and first pick of the draft, they went completely opposite track of what everyone thought they were going to do. Jackson Holliday or Ethan Holliday ends up going to Colorado.
Which is a great fit for him.
Yeah,
I mean, did you see the tweet the Rockies put out right away? Been a fan since age one, because they had him when Matt was playing there,
and
his uniform was cool. But yeah, that Willits kid, I think, is what it was, going number one overall. And then the kid who went number two overall was a total surprise as well. And all the guys just kept getting pushed down the board. I guess it has to do with slotted money and bonus pool money or something we shouldn't have to care about as sports fans. It doesn't matter. But, you know, hopefully these guys get up to the big league ball club. That was the great thing about last year's draft. All those guys were at the big league level. And you could kind of see last night, I was watching MLB Network. I don't know which network you chose to watch the draft on, but they were really, they're trying to make it like the NFL draft. And you know, the NFL could learn a lot from Major League Baseball. Speed up that first round, man. Like Major League Baseball, just for everything they do slow. If that thing wasn't on TV, that first round would have been over in 10 minutes. There's no question in my mind that thing would have been over in 10 minutes.
There's also like 700 rounds in baseball, so they want expedite.
I mean, they've actually limited it recently, but, you know, it's still a very long draft. But football could learn, man, and baseball could learn, too. People get excited about these players. Get them up to the big leagues. Look at what this year has done. How many people are going to the All-Star game that were drafted last year, right? I mean, it's like all of a sudden all these young guys that we want to see play are actually playing at the big league level, and that's a good thing. So hopefully this draft does the same type of thing as last year's draft did.
Did you have a good weekend, Dr. Mackenstein?
It was good. I was dealing with some car BS, but it's okay.
We almost fought a guy.
I know. You fought a guy at Jiffy Lube?
At the Valvoline.
Oh, yeah. We got to hear that story coming up on the other side.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you fall in the little hole there that they have where the people are standing under it?
I wish I would have. Yeah. I would have been safer.
Someone tells me you took Bob's advice to go to this place. And then now you have a situation that only Fesco finds himself into.
I'm never going. Well, we don't need to. Yeah, it's okay.
We'll hear about it on the other side. But I got to hear how you got into this thing and how you got out of it, because it wasn't me that sent you there.
We'll also talk about the Royals and second half expectations. In case you were wondering, Sean Gamble and Josh Hammond were the kids the Royals took in the first round.
They took a gamble on that guy.
Oh, it's funny because he says it's a gamble. Family Guy. But no, and then we'll give everything else that we need to look forward to in the second half as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Does anybody have more fun than Rex Hubbard calling a game?
I don't think anybody does.
I mean, he makes the sound of a horse and doesn't miss
poked
the beat.
The left, Demo dives and missed it. Come on, Calvo and went past him. Salvi gets on his horse. Well, she waves him home. All the way home.
I mean, that's Friday night, right? Or is that Saturday? I can't remember.
Oh, that was really good. It doesn't matter when it was, but you gave Rex the ultimate compliment there, Dusty. And I think he would probably hear that and go, yeah, that is the ultimate compliment. Nobody's having more fun doing what he does than Rex Hudler. And you can sense it. Rex has always had a good time in the booth, whether the team's winning games or losing games. He's always had a lot of fun calling games. And that's what needs to happen in baseball. We need more guys like the Rex Hudlers of the world that are going to have fun instead of being so stodgy and whatnot. That's why I love Rex so much, is because he understands it's entertainment. He understands it's fun. He walked around a baseball field on Thursday night with no shoes on.
That's
like
right.
the man, you gotta have fun doing these things. And if you're gonna make a horse noise, that's fantastic. I'm sure there's a couple of stodgy nerds out there that probably got mad about that or something, but I love it. I think that's the way you need to broadcast baseball games. Show people you're having fun, then they're gonna have fun watching it.
Yeah. Forgot who he replaced.
Well, I can tell you, it's Frank White.
Yeah,
and
no
Frank
doubt.
Was not having fun when he was calling the Royals games. He was not very good at calling the Royals games. That's why they let him go, I guess. I don't know. You'd have to look into that.
We'll have to recall that conversation.
Yeah, we should probably recall that at some point in time, sometime in August.
Maybe you recall hearing this weekend?
What do you want next, my friend?
I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I want my wife next. It's going to be a lot of ground and pounding. Ground and pounding. She know what it is.
That's fine, right. Derek Lewis wins his USC fight. And just, without skipping a beat.
What do you want next, my friend?
I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I want my wife next. It's going to be a lot of ground and pounding. Ground and pounding. She know what it is.
She know what it is. And bless her heart, was just sitting right there in the room, standing right there in the wing going, oh, shoot.
Now I know how Jen feels.
It's going to be a lot of ground and pounding. Ground and pounding.
I love that, though. Like, what do you want for the next 2 weeks? I just want to see my wife, man. I've been gone for a long time. I just want to see my wife. I know how that is. You know, you're gone for a week at the Super Bowl. I was like, I just want to see my wife and kids. I'm ready for that. You know, God love 100%. You guys. But, you know, it's the love of your life, you know. Right. And so I love that answer. That, again, fun. Have fun doing it. We're not talking about that guy unless he's having fun afterwards, giving some lame cliche that he messes up. Like, that's wonderful right there. That's real human emotion right there. We need more of that in sports.
And that's after, like, you know, the most masculine thing. Beat a guy's ass. What do you want next? Title shot? No. Oh. My wife.
Yeah. I'm going to go home to my wife, man. I love her. All right. Cool. Well,
he's the king of quotes, man.
Yeah.
My balls was hot.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
He's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it. When you get the microphone, you're like, yes, here comes my moment.
Dude.
All right. And all you said was, what's next?
Yeah.
That's all you had to do.
It wasn't like you said, you haven't seen your wife in a couple of weeks, man. What do you guys plan on doing?
Yeah,
didn't even give him that.
What's next? It was like Frank Clark after the AFC Championship game. How you doing? Let me tell you how I'm doing.
Bring it on. So speaking of ground and pound, you almost ground and pounded some guy at a mechanic place.
Yeah, what happened to you?
Yeah.
So I'm getting this oil change.
Call this guy an effer.
My car gets effed up. So bay one is GG's. Bay one is no more. There's two bays now at this oil change store. Okay, so we cannot exit.
Who the hell is GG?
That means good. Yeah,
good game. Yeah, good game. It's over. Basically, it's done. Okay.
Gigi? Well, I don't know if that was his mother's new name. I never heard that one.
It's gaming lingo.
People probably ask that same thing, Bob. So that's fair.
It's what lingo?
It's gaming lingo. So if you're playing Madden and you get a touchdown with like a minute 30 left to go play 10, some guy in your ear will be like, GG's.
GG's, thank good you. Game.
Some guy in my ear.
I know.
I'm out of that stage, man. Like
different ages and different graphics.
It really is. Like go outside and make a friend, man. Like
Bob, said, GG's was a place you go get an enchilada and smoke a dart next to a guy that had no shoes on.
Hell
Shawnee.
Yeah. Say what? Yeah, that describes Shawnee in a nutshell.
So that was what GG's was.
I was going to get an Uber. Valvoline's like, you know, we'll just take you home so we don't have to buy you an Uber because you can't drive home. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
How do we get to the point where Valvoline is offering an Uber?
Because my car doesn't work. They broke my car.
Let's start from the beginning.
They broke my car. My car no longer works. They broke a dipstick in my engine. It's a long story short. Go see a mechanic. Anyways, they're going to take my car to a mechanic. I need to go home. They give me an Uber home, except they don't. They just decide, you know, we can just drive you. It's cheaper for us. You don't have to wait. I'm like, okay, this nice Valvoline woman. I get in her car. We try to exit. Mm. They only have two bays, long lines, only one exit, right? They have the employee parking lot that all the employees have to move their cars so we could exit out of that way. We don't want to do that. So we're just trying to move behind this one car. Older man in his vehicle could clearly move up over 2 feet. Looking at us on his phone, I'm like, hey, man, can you move? Kind of just trying to like mouth to him through the window. Giving me like very perturbed looks, already frustrated on his phone, like side-eyeing me and this woman that I don't know that I'm in her car, that we're just trying to leave this parking lot, moves up a couple inches, starts to look away again, clearly annoyed. I roll down my window. Hey, buddy, move forward. We got to get out. We can't get out. And he's just like being a D, right? Making bad faces, whatever. She's like, okay, I'm going to go ask an employee to move. And so she moves her car and she starts to go get employees to move their car. And I'm like, okay. So I get out of the car when she gets out of the car. And I just hear her because she sees me storming to this old man's car. And I just hear her go, oh, okay. And then I just keep going. I knock on this guy's window. He's like, hey, what do you want?
Roll it down?
He rolls it down just a smidge. I'm like, he's like, what do you want? I'm like, why are you being an a-hole? You know, he's like, what? He's like, well, I just objectively saw you be a really big jerk to everyone. So it's okay. We found someone that's an employee that's going to take their time from their actual job to stop what they're doing and be nice to us, move their car. It's okay. You have a great day. And he's like, you don't call me that. I just walked away. I was like, you, sir,
Binkley?
Suck. Like, mm-hmm. That just ticked me off. It really did for the next few hours. I really had to cool down just because I can't imagine just being so selfish. Dude, you could have just moved up to the right of that
person.
Dude,
it's only
car.
Been a year around me, so you I mean, you need to calm down.
You're not tough. Hey, you're not tough.
Let's get to it. Come
That's
on,
me.
Man.
This is me.
Hey. Hey.
Off to a good start, buddy.
Man. I got it all on record.
Someone would have had it on record, man. I was ready to throw hands, dude. Just be nice to people. You could have moved up past someone's car. We could have gotten out of the parking lot. You could have reversed back.
So did they fix your car?
No, well, that's a different story. Again, just go take your car to a mechanic.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Okay. Where's your car right now?
I have it. Yeah.
You do have it.
Yeah,
okay.
I have
so
it.
It works.
It works because of my wallet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's trying to get that money back because they screwed it up.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. So now you got to deal with all that.
Now I'm dealing with all that.
You did win the Love Island vote.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Hey, at least you got that over the weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to win.
Captain teammate over here.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, boys. I appreciate you.
There you go.
Yes.
So let's, I'm sorry for that. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Like, there's nothing worse than having the car trouble and the issues with your car and then having to deal with it because it puts you in such a bind.
It does.
Nobody wants to cooperate with you, so just calm down. At 27 years old, you don't need to be acting like me, okay? Just take it down a notch. Somebody does something stupid. I had a guy this weekend park in between two handicap spots at the pool, right? And on the pattern that has the lines
course,
that you're not supposed
not
to park
spot.
In, he pulls into it two handy, and he comes out, and I looked at him. I just kind of did the Larry David. I went, really? And he goes, well, I'm dropping stuff off. I go, yeah, it doesn't really work here.
No,
it doesn't really work like this. Go find a parking spot somewhere. You're dropping stuff off. I was here as long as you were waiting for my kid to get out of her job, and I hadn't seen you. You weren't here. The car was turned off. There's no hazards on. It wasn't left running like you were only going to be a minute. You were in there doing your deal and taking your time and not caring about anybody else. That's why I get mad. When the selfish behavior takes over, we're living in a society, people. like you got to do stuff to help other people. Because if you don't, you're going to get your ass kicked. It's just the way it is these days.
And see, what's surprising is that Max showed more fight than Q over the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a quick conversation about this because I believe this was the conversation a lot of people were having on the Twitter world or Facebook or anywhere where there was royal outlets to vent, because probably one of the most atrocious calls I've seen in a base running situation was Bobby getting thrown out at second. And I don't want to leave Q on this island by himself, because I know that Salvi's the team captain, but we know who the face of this team is. It's Bobby Witt Jr., man. Like, that guy is Kansas City Royals. Like, and I know Salvi's here, and it's, you know, we're losing Salvi as we get older through time. But again, Bobby Witt Jr. is what moves the needle in Kansas City. There are kids. Hell, the Wittesons had a wonderful Sunday. They were on TV. They found the exact doppelganger I've ever seen.
I mean, that guy that looked just like
couldn't
Bobby was unbelievable.
Bobby made cool. That play at short. Well, which one plays at shortstop on that Sunday game? But Saturday, he gets thrown out at second. They review it. At that point in your season, you had a heartbreak loss Friday night where you're up 3-1, and then in a blink of an eye, you got beat 8-3.
That was unbelievable.
Unreal how quick that happened.
Yeah.
Saturday, this play happens, and that's a moment where, like, I understand that, like, Q doesn't have that emotional bone where, like, he's just Bobby Cox or hell Ned or, like,
Billy Martin back
anybody
in the day,
like
Lou Piniella, yeah.
And you don't really see a lot of that. Now, you saw the Blue Jays manager on Sunday having his coaches, like, pull his, like, you know, batting jacket back so he doesn't erupt. But damn it, man. Like, come on. Like, at least if you're not gonna lose it ever often, then pick your spots. That was an exact spot to pick where I thought Q should have sprinted out of that dugout. Not even made it to the umpire before he's like, I know he's getting tossed. You're gone. And then just let it out. Vent. You know, you have these moments in your life where, you know, you're a pretty cool, calm guy. But every once in a while, you just want to go in your garage and just scream at the top of your lungs. And it kind of makes you feel better, right? It's like in the movie Wanderlust when Paul Rudd goes after that Seth guy. And they're like, mushrooms. It's a texture thing. And they use those ways to vent out. I also, in the same moment, would have liked to seen Bobby shown some emotion. And if we're going to give Q this thing where it's like, well, I want to see some fire. I want to see some fight. We've seen that from the team as well. I want to see some fire. I want to see some fight. I would have liked to seen Bobby get kicked out there in that moment. He was safe. It wasn't close. He's not out. And that's a pivotal moment. And that's your superstar. And if Bobby gets erupted, and because like if Q were to get excited and get kicked out, and get everybody on the team would have been like, damn, Matt's pissed. And if Bobby did it, then everybody's gonna be like, I don't think I've ever seen Bobby Witt Jr. get kicked out of a game. I don't even know if he's ever been ejected.
Yeah.
Maybe on a ball or strike call once. But like that's a moment that you had that would have made a 1-3 three-game stand against the Mets would have made it feel like a winning series. Now, yesterday they went in walk-off fashion, Nick Lofton again. Was a great win. Was awesome to see Tyler Tolbert, who of course replaces Caglione, gets on, gets the third, scores, wins the game. But again, like in that moment, I would have loved to have seen some ferocious fire from one of, if not both of those two guys, your manager and your superstar on your team.
You know where I stand on all this. I'm not a flip the spread type of guy. You have to choose your moments. That was the moment he should have chosen to flip the spread. That was the moment for Q to go out there and argue that call. And, you know, it goes to review, and obviously we saw what happened with all of that. And I was watching the Mets broadcast on Saturday, really for most of the weekend, just to kind of see what they were saying, you know, about our team. And throughout the entire review, the Mets announcers were like, well, this will be the last pitch that Q has seen of this game, because he's going to go out there and he's going to argue this, and he's going to scream and yell, and he's going to get ejected. And it was like the Mets announcers were rooting for Matt Quatrero to go out there and argue with the umpires. And then he didn't. They're like, wow, I can't believe he's not arguing with the umpires. So it wasn't just us that had that kind of feeling that that was the moment. It was even the Mets announcers who had that feeling like this was the perfect moment to show that emotion. Now, with a guy like you, I love the steady nature of it. That's what Andy Reid has been. Ned was really like that as well. You have to be able to be steady. But when there's a moment where you need to erupt, you need to erupt.
And because, Andy does that.
And Andy does do that. We have seen Andy go after the officials. We have seen Andy at times snap on the sidelines real quick, but that resets everything. That everybody goes, whoa, Andy just snapped in that moment. That's why when you're a guy like Q or you're a guy like Andy Reid, when you do snap, it means a hell of a lot more than if you're a guy like a Billy Martin or a Lou Piniella who's snapping all the time. You just kind of roll your eyes at it. Okay, right. This is played out. We have not seen Q get angry. The season was slipping away. That game was slipping away. Your fan interest is slipping away. That was the moment to go out there and raise holy hell at the umpires. That was the moment in time where you could have taken that cool, calm, collected personality and reacted the way that you did, where it really would have sent a message, because that was the moment that people were expecting it, waiting for it, and then it didn't happen. And you've got to go out there and go to bat for your players in that situation. I thought that was a missed moment by Matt Quatrero. And that's not like us to criticize him or anything like that, but that was one of those moments where he needed to be that leader, to be that loud guy, to be that guy who was going to stand up for his players. And then it didn't happen. They showed him in the dugout, and like Ron Darling's like, I couldn't be that calm.
And I know there's people that are saying that Vern was mad because some caller called in afterwards, and you know, I figured Vern would not want to see see the manager lose his cool. Vern, you know, he'll talk you the side of it. But again, and then there's people saying, well, it's not the umpire. They're getting it from New York.
Right.
New York's saying it's, you know, and then coincidence, I think not. You're playing the Mets who are
I had that thought. My thought immediately was they need the Mets to win here. That's why we got screwed on those two calls. Yeah. I mean, there's the spirit of replay, and then there's replay, right? Like in the spirit of things, God bless it, America. Jesus, your body momentum, like it's so, I mean, come on. You bounce off the base a little bit like that. Spirit of the law versus letter of the law. Okay. Your guy was safe. Both times you didn't need to change the call. And they did, but that was the moment where you could go. But my mind immediately went, oh, they need the Mets to win this stuff for ratings purposes.
So yeah, it might have been out of the guys on the field's situation, but at least like showing something. And that's
who you can yell at, though.
Right. And I mean, that's where you have a moment to show that you're pissed off. And then I get it. Like some people are like, well, what's it going to prove? I don't know. You asked for fire, and then half the text line's like, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And Vern said he shouldn't have done it. Well, that's what you guys want to believe. This is what I want to believe.
Yeah.
And I just think that like when you see your guy who's cool, calm, and collected, who the fan base has asked several times, 100,000 times, please, for the love of whatever's holy, go out there and show some sort of like pissed off attitude. That was your moment. Whether you're in the right or the wrong,
That's your moment. And a lot of times when you're pissed off, you're not right. But you like lose your cool because it wasn't that moment that should have sent him over the edge. It was everything else that's been building up for this entire year. They're an underachieving ball club right now. They're below 500. They're not in the playoff conversation. That was the moment to kind of flip that, where all of this stuff that has built up this year, that's when you release that right before the All-Star game. And you send that message with 65 games remaining. We're still in this. We're still fighting. I still have your back. That was the perfect moment to do that. And that's not coming from Dusty and Bob. That came from Ron Darling as well, who pitched in the big leagues for 20 years and has been broadcasting games for like 20 years. That guy's been around the block. He knows what he's talking about. And as a former player that's sitting in the booth talking about how he would have liked to have seen the manager erupt like that, I'll take his word for it over you and I at that point in time.
Isn't that why we have a challenge system? Thanks, Coach. We got a couple minutes. We can get to a quick overreaction on a Monday. I think I'm going to start my overreaction after watching some college football highlights this weekend, because they said we're six Saturdays away this Saturday from college football. Missouri's going to be a college football playoff team. Their schedule might be the biggest cakewalk schedule in the SEC in the history of the SEC.
Got Tennessee on there three times?
No, they don't have Tennessee at all. Don't have Florida. Don't have Georgia. They have their toughest games. South Carolina, it's at home. Alabama, it's at home. A&M, it's at home. And Mississippi State, it's at home. Tough game on the road, Oklahoma. But
is it, though, anymore? I don't know what to make of Oklahoma.
I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, maybe. But again, like, I think Mizzou's got a chance. They play Central Arkansas, KU, Louisiana. Then they play South Carolina at home, UMass. And they play a lot of games in a row at home, like first, like, five games at home. UMass, Bama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, A&M at home, Mississippi State at home, OU, Arkansas. Missouri will be a college football playoff team this year, and if they aren't, Eli Drinkwitz is going to be in some hot water.
Love it.
Plus, they have one of the top five transfer portals going into college football this season.
It's exciting. Yeah, it's a pretty nice SEC schedule for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, no Florida, no Georgia, no Tennessee.
You got to take advantage of those years when the schedule's in your favor, you know, when you have the alleged big boy. But who knows who the big boys are anymore with NIL right now? You just don't know, right? So, but like, name brand schools are off your schedule. You should win those, at least for the next couple of years, while we're still ingrained to those being the big boys. When they're not on your schedule, take advantage of it. What do you got, Mac?
Jake Brenningstool.
Never heard of it.
Was that the guy that I wanted the Royals to draft? That Cruz schoolwork or whatever his name was?
6'6" tight end out of Clemson, undrafted to the Chiefs. Heard a little bit about him in OTAs and minicamp. He's going to be Mr. August. We're going to hear a lot about him. He's going to be part of the future of the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe not this year. Jake Brenningstool, undrafted, 6'6", 240 pounds. Really good as far as in space, ball in his hands, yards after the catch. I think he'll battle for over Jared Wiley as that tight end three. I don't know much how on the field looks he'll get with two really good tight ends in front of him.
Jake brings his stool to camp.
Yes, that's it. Jake Brenningstool. There you go. He'll be Mr. August. You'll hear about him in, training camp in 8 days.
What is Jody Fortson going to say about this if this is the guy that everybody's talking about this year?
It's 2 day.
What about Jason Dunn?
They started their training camp already over the weekend.
They did.
San Diego did.
They did.
They're after it because they got that Halloween game coming up, or Hall of Fame game, whatever the hell it's called. My overreaction is pretty simple. The Royals are just an average baseball team at best. They beat the teams that are worse than them, and they can't play against the teams that are at their level or better than them.
The Dolphins?
It's a good comparison. Yeah, I do. I kind of like that. Yeah, that's kind of where they are. You know, like, they're good against the teams that are beneath them, but when they play teams at their level or above, they're just not ready to compete.
Damn, you hate to hear that, but sometimes the truth hurts. Coming up on the other side, Mark Cuban's Olympic idea, plus Vegas introduced a new game that we would all play. I guarantee
it. Yes.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20, right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Happy Monday. 96.5 The Fan. Hope you're all having a great Monday start to your day.
I am.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
I mean, at some point. This is where Josh and I used to say, thanks, Mom and Dad, for paying for our college, when we were going to talk about stories like we were discussing in the break.
Right. A story that did come out over the weekend is that Vegas is going to have Uno
as
a new card game in the casino. I'm trying to wrap my head around. So, like, everybody has an ante that goes in, and then is it, like, winner take all? Have they explained the rules yet?
I did not get too deep into it. I just saw that Uno was now a sanctioned card game by the state of Nevada.
Like, we do realize, right? Like, we watched Adrian Peterson get his ass kicked in a Texas Hold'em game. But, like, real money, Vegas, right? When you play Uno, like, have you ever had a heated game of Uno with, like, family members?
Hell yeah, who hasn't, right? Yeah.
You can't punch your family members.
Right.
This is going to cause fights. Like,
well, blackjack does too, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Casino games are notorious for this. Texas Hold'em, blackjack, baccarat, maybe. I don't know if there's ever been a fight on that table. And then you're going to introduce Uno when you yell out Uno and somebody gives you a draw four?
Yeah. You ain't going to be happy about that one, right?
We're going to see Carrington go to Vegas three more times a year.
Because of Uno.
He loves Uno. Yeah. He's a huge Uno activist. Like, he thinks it's one of the greatest games ever invented.
It's probably going to be a big day for him, then.
Oh!
Yeah, huge
and he loves,
day.
We know he loves Vegas.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Is there another game that they should... Because you said you played War in a casino.
Yeah, I play Casino War, yeah. Back in the day, downtown Vegas.
Because that's like the casino that Chevy Chase went to when he ran out of money.
Oh, yeah. They got War, yeah.
Pick a number. Oh, I'm always great at this.
Yeah, three.
Even or odd.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but close, right? But no, I played War. Like, I was thinking more
War,
of the line...
You go through some money fast.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. You don't win, ever. But, you know, Vegas is got some hard times right now. One of the... I think it was Caesars is laying off a bunch of people. I was talking to our friend Ben Maller about this. He goes, it's pretty simple how to fix Las Vegas. You don't need to add Uno. Get rid of resort fees and stop charging for parking, and everybody will be back. There's nothing worse than that scam of the resort fee that hotels are putting on your bill right now. $79 for the room, $59 a night for the resort fee, right? That is a scam. People don't want to pay those, so they don't go to these places. Get rid of the resort fee, stop nickel and diming people, and people will go back. But I was thinking along the lines of games like we used to, like, I think Hungry Hungry Hippos would be a great Vegas game.
That would be awesome. I would love it.
I don't know. Like, let's just do Hungry Hungry Hippos and everybody sits around and
just jamming the thing. Come on.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
That was the first game that I thought of. And I think, damn, that would be a great Vegas casino game. Hungry Hungry Hippos. Let's go.
Somebody says it would be per card play for bets.
Yeah, I'm seeing they'll have three different kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
Uno Golf, Uno Teams, and Uno Show 'em No Mercy.
Have you guys ever played Golf, the card game?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty easy. It doesn't probably going to sound easy, but you get four cards.
Uh-huh.
You look at two of them, and you can only look once. Lowest score wins. So you get four cards. The two cards you look at, aces is low. And
is ace one?
Ace is one, okay. And then jacks and fives are zero.
Oh, okay.
So then... After they're all divvied out, you put the cards in the middle, flip the first card up, left of the dealer goes first. And then the two cards you haven't ever looked at, that's where you gamble. So then when you look at a card and it goes over and it's like a two, you're like, all right, you take one of those cards you haven't looked at, or maybe the two cards below you is like a 10 and a 9. You're like, well, I know that 10, it's a 10. Put it in the middle, then you can kind of angle it so you know that that card's safe. But the two cards that you didn't ever look at, you don't know. So then when there's like, let's say a three pops up, you're like, three's a pretty good card. You take that, you take one of the cards up top, throw it in the middle, it's a jack. You're like, oh,
you're like, yeah,
that
yes.
Next guy's going to take that jack, and then, you know, that's how you play. And then whenever you feel you think you have the lowest hand or whoever does, they'll knock, and that's the last round. And the knock is your move, and then you go up your cards, and let's hope that you have a low score. That score wins.
Gotcha.
Love that game.
Yeah, that
it's
sounds
really
like fun.
Yeah.
It sounds
game.
Like it moves pretty quick, too.
One of the best drinking card games you could ever have, because it's real simplistic. It can get competitive. And you can add rules where, like, you can put a joker in there.
Yeah.
And when you draw a joker, or if you have a joker, and those people that kind of, like, angle their cards that they know are good, you can be like, I know that's a good card. Here's a joker. And now it's like a, you know, or a 12 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You switch your cards. But
so no. That's going to be part of this Uno game that's going to be out
there
in Las Vegas?
I would assume that's how they play Uno Golf. I don't know, though. Because there's draw fours and there's,
match,
you know,
cards by colors and numbers, but your cards are laid out as you try to get rid of high cards and keep lower value cards. Strategically clear columns to eliminate cards, but beware of cards that can raise your score. The player with the lowest score wins.
So okay. Similar.
So similar
Very
type
similar.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. somebody says, what about Risk? Are you going to be there for 12 hours? Honey, I played one game.
I thought about like Monopoly, but I'm like, that would take way too long. Nobody wants to do that, right?
You'd have to like expedite it. Yeah. You'd have like a pitch clock on that.
Shoots
one.
And ladders or something like that. Candyland. Sorry would be good. Awesome. Boggle. Or maybe Yahtzee would be a good casino game. Hi-ho, I know we kind of already have it, you know, with craps and whatnot, but why not Yahtzee as a casino game?
It'd be really
game?
Good if you did like Operation and the, the harder bones had more value.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you really actually get electrocuted if you miss.
And you miss, you got electrocuted for real. That would be fun. I do like that one. That would be a great game to play at a casino. But I thought that was fantastic yesterday, seeing Uno is going to come to a casino near you.
Mm-hmm. I hope it does.
816 says, what about heads up, seven up?
That's a good one. But see, you could cheat in that. We used to cheat all the time. You just keep your head like off the edge of the table and you look at the shoes and then you figure out whose shoes touched your finger. And then you look up there at the wall and you go, okay, it was John right there. He had the Nikes on, you know?
But you never say that because you give away your tips.
Yeah.
Speaking of 21 and older in casinos, 21 and younger is what Mark Cuban wants the Olympics team to be. For basketball, we're giving all these guys for free and taking the injury risk. Mark Cuban says the NBA or hates NBA players participating in the Olympics and believes it should be limited to players 21 years old and younger.
Yeah, I understand his perspective, but sorry, Mark, nobody wants to watch that. You know, nobody wants to watch people that you really don't know. That's what we were doing with the Olympics, and it wasn't working, and we were losing to other countries. And then the Olympics changed it and said, we want our best athletes playing. That's what you want. That's what the Olympics are, right? It's a display of the greatest athletes in the world at one location for 2 weeks, and everybody competes in the event. That's at the root of what the Olympics are. We want our best players there. This was the debate back in the 90s about having, you know, the dream team and whatnot. Oh, well, they're going to be better than everybody else. Yeah, well, that just because our best is better than yours doesn't mean we shouldn't play our best. And so if you're going to be exactly. But this was, you know, 30 years ago, right, when the European basketball scene really didn't exist all that much. And so now you've got the opportunity where the Olympics are wide open, where you can get the best of the best, whether it be some NFL players in flag football, Major League Baseball. Baseball players and baseball, NFL or NBA players, hockey players. We want to see that. It's exciting for the fans. We want to watch that kind of stuff. And we're competitive. It's the world game. So you might as well put your best foot forward. I understand what Cuban's saying. That's being a business guy and thinking about the dollars and cents of his NBA team. That's not thinking about the big picture of what the Olympics are all about. So I understand his take. I don't agree with his take.
But he still wants the best of the best. He just wants an NBA World Cup. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the Olympics. He wants to be able to get a piece of the pie, and the agents and the NBA coaches and NBA executives to be able to get a piece of the pie and get some sort of something back for this injury risk and have an NBA World Cup just like soccer does, which is bigger than the Olympics.
But doesn't soccer also participate in the Olympics? Why can't we do both? Yeah. Why can't we create the NBA World Cup and have the Olympics? I mean, it has been proven, and we have seen
it's both
but dudes like playing for their countries. They love representing the United States or Germany or Greece or whoever they're playing for, whatever country they're representing. These guys love representing their country. So the more of those opportunities you can create, look, I'd rather watch an NBA World Cup than an NBA regular season, and I've never seen an NBA World Cup. I'd rather watch the Olympics than the NBA regular season, right? Give the fans those opportunities. I mean, nobody's a soccer fan, but when the World Cup comes around every 4 years, every freaking bar is packed and everybody's watching the World Cup because it's unique, it's different, it's something that's a one-off. Give folks the Olympics, give folks a World Cup of the NBA. I like that idea.
Show me his face. Would never allow that.
Cuban said that.
Oh, yes, he would. If he found a way to make money and all these owners were cashing in on all of this, absolutely they would.
That means he's got to work.
Yeah, exactly. No, just keep extending the FIBA contract, which is what Cuban says he does.
I feel like Adam Silver's hooked up to like an IV machine and gets like fed like applesauce through a syringe. He's sitting there going, is it time? He's like Palpatine. Come to the dark side, Koopa. I'll make sure you're fine. Just a sack of bones. Coming up, Quiet Before the Storm, and from what? Heel to hero? Maybe. Kansas City, we put you in a predicament of a guy you used to hate who you might love. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you.